I hope you're having a great week, and I want to thank you for joining me for our study of 1 Peter. Today's passage that we're looking at comes from chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 4 through 8. So, starting again with 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 4 through 8. I hope you have your copy of God's Word with you. But if you don't, then hopefully you'll go back and look at it at a later time and look at the passages that we're looking at today. So verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame.' So honor will come to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone, and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word. They were destined for this." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the time to look at your word today. I thank you for those that are listening, and I ask that you would greatly bless them as well as me as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through 8. We ask that your Holy Spirit would illuminate your word to our hearts, that he would anoint me and fill me as I teach and try to preach from this passage what you would have us to learn. We thank you for the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us so that if we'll believe in him, we'll have eternal life. And we thank you that we have the privilege of being smaller stones being put together as your temple. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in our lives, help us to be put together, bonded together, and help us to fulfill the purpose that you have for us in our lives. Lord, I ask your blessings on those that are joining me, and I ask your blessings on your church, not only First Baptist Gochet, but also our sister churches all around this world, that you would pour your Spirit out upon us and in a fresh and a new way, because, Lord, we so desperately need a fresh encounter with you. We need revival, Lord, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would bring it. For it's in the Son, name of your Son, the name that is above every name, that we pray. Amen. So as we think about a spiritual house being formed, we must consider the foundation of the house first. You know, whether or not the house will last depends on the foundation. And I can remember when my parents built a house. I was probably around fifth or sixth grade at the time. We had to make sure that we had a good foundation laid for the house. And so we built a house that had footers. And so we had to have those footers laid just right so that the house would have a good foundation. And so as we consider our text, we must consider the foundation of this house that's being built, or this temple that is being built for the Lord. And in fact, verse 5 tells us that we as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood. So we are the spiritual house that is being built, or a house of the Lord, a temple. These are all synonymous of what the Lord is using us for and building us for. But before we get into building the actual house, of course, again, we've got to go to the foundation. And as we consider the foundation, we consider, first of all, the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone was the stone that was not only a part of the foundation, but it was the first stone of the foundation that was laid. It was the chief stone, the stone that the rest of the foundation would be guided by. And so the cornerstone was the most important piece of the foundation. Now, we can see from this passage that we're looking at today that the cornerstone is Jesus. But let's look and see what makes up the rest of the foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone." Now, as we think about the apostles and prophets, we need to understand that the Old Testament was written by the prophets. Moses was considered a prophet, is considered a prophet, let me correct myself, but he was one of the first prophets of the Lord, and he, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the first five books of the Bible. And so he, along with the rest of the prophets, gives us the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, the Lord worked through the apostles to write the New Testament. Each one of the books was written by an apostle. So we have the Bible, or the Word of God, that serves as the foundation of the church, along with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And so when we consider all of this and what the Bible talks about, the Word of God, you have the Old Testament prophets pointing forward to the Messiah. You have the apostles that give us the Gospels, telling us about his life and his death and his resurrection. And then you have the rest of the New Testament that is sort of telling us, what do we do with that? And so the Bible is about Jesus. It is for Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's because of Jesus. We can continue to describe the Bible in many different ways, but it all comes back to the Bible is about Jesus. And so as we think about Jesus being the cornerstone and the foundation being the prophets and the apostles, we can't help but to understand that the foundation for the church, and not just the foundation for the church, but the foundation for Christians in our individual lives and the foundation for everything that we are, is Jesus. And as Jesus has revealed himself through his word, we can stand on a firm foundation that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to stand on this word and to know that no matter what comes, that we have the firm foundation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, notice how this passage describes our cornerstone and foundation. It describes our foundation or cornerstone as living. Now, when you think about a stone or foundation, you usually think of something that is hard, it's immovable, it's lifeless. But that's not so with our cornerstone. You know, for 3 days, yes, his body did lay lifeless in a borrowed tomb outside the gates of Jerusalem. But after 3 days of being in that tomb, he came back to life. He walked out of that grave. He is alive. He is living. And because he is a living stone, he is able to support us in different situations and in different trials. Our foundation is able to meet every need that we have. He is able to weather any and every storm. He is able to withstand any earthquake. He is able to support us in any and every trial. And so our cornerstone is described here as being living. And not only is he living, but he is chosen. Jesus was chosen by the Father to be the cornerstone. The Father's choosing stands in contrast to man's rejection. Now, we'll touch on man's rejection more in a moment, but now we are focusing on the choosing of the cornerstone. You know, there's no other cornerstone than Jesus, because Jesus is the one that was chosen by God the Father. Jesus was chosen to be our Redeemer and our cornerstone, but in addition to him being chosen, he was also honored. Now, the word translated as honored is also translated as precious. And so it can be translated as honored, it can be translated as precious, it can be translated as precious, it can be translated as honored. And so I know I'm repeating myself here in different ways, but I want you to understand that here this word honored can also mean precious. And the question is one word better than the other here in the context of this scripture? And to answer that question, I would say, I don't think so. Because Jesus, the cornerstone, is both honored by and precious to God the Father. He's precious because of his unique relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is God the Son. And he's honored because of who he is, that is God the Son, as well as what he has done, that he has taken the sins of the world upon himself, that he died for those sins. He became the sacrifice, the perfect payment of our sins. He was laid in a borrowed tomb, and as he paid the price for our sins and he experienced death on your behalf as well as mine, he rose 3 days later, defeating death in the grave. And so he is not only honored, but he is precious as well. And so he is God the Son, and he paid the sin debt so that anyone who believes in him might be saved. But so we have the cornerstone here that is presented as the foundation, but we also receive that man must make a response. And so as we think about man's response, we have to understand that whenever a person encounters the living stone, whenever somebody encounters Jesus Christ, encounters the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are only two responses that can happen. There is either rejection or belief. And if there is anything short of belief, maybe a slight affinity or maybe a warm, fuzzy feeling, but still not belief. If it's not belief, it's rejection. And by and large, the majority of the people on this planet have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the religious leaders that lived at the time of Christ, they rejected him as well. You know, even people that followed him for a while rejected him. Remember Judas Iscariot? He turned him over to the chief priest. He betrayed him. I don't think he would have really betrayed him if he really, really believed that Jesus is the Messiah. I don't think Judas Iscariot would have betrayed him. And so not only did you have the rejection there by the religious leaders, and the rejection by Judas Iscariot, along with many others at the time that Jesus lived. But even today, people reject Jesus. They reject the exclusivity of his statements. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And so he's saying that he is the only way. Most of the people of the world would say, well, Jesus is a way, and they would reject the claim that he is the only way. And even people that come to church, they reject Jesus. We can even go a step further and say that even people that profess to be saved reject Jesus. How do we know that they reject Christ? Well, it's because they're disobedient to the word. They disobey the word of God. We can see in verses 7 and 8 that the stone rejected by people becomes a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. This word stumble can also mean to be offended. If you don't think people are offended by Jesus, then post on social media his teachings about the home, about sexuality, about the sacredness of life, and you'll find that the Word of God is very offensive to those who reject Jesus. This rejection, stumbling, and disobedience leads to destruction. Those that reject Christ are destined for eternal punishment, and the sentence is just. But thank God that the chief cornerstone came to offer us another option. And that other option is belief. Those that believe in Jesus are both honored by the Father and are precious to him. Those that believe in Jesus are living stones themselves, a spiritual house being built into a holy priesthood. Now, we'll look at being a holy priesthood next week if the Lord wills. But it is important to point out that we are both spiritual houses as well as collectively a spiritual house. If we are saved, then each one of us are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we should behave as such. We have the honor of God saving us and residing inside of us. We have such an incredible honor and privilege. Look at verse 6 with me. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "For it stands in Scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." How convicting this verse is, as well as promising. It is convicting because I ponder how I put myself to shame with all of my slip-ups since I have been saved. I wonder how much I have put the Lord to shame with my sin. But I am thankful that he is faithful to forgive us if we confess our sins to him. But notice the promise. Notice the promise here. He says, the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. The Lord will never give you a reason to be ashamed of him. His promises endure forever. If you believe him, he will honor you. However, if you are ashamed of Christ, it indicates either you are not saved or you've backslidden and you need to return to him. Look at Mark 8:38. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. But he said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And so I think that it is important for us to be mindful and remember that we are not to be ashamed of Christ, but we are to be bold because of Christ. We are to be brave because of Christ, and to not be ashamed to let people know that we serve Christ and believe in Christ and we love Christ. And so I think that not only is there the idea of not being ashamed of him and being, you know, thankful and being brave in the Lord, but we also must continually come to him. Well, let's take a look at 1 Peter 2, verse 4 again. It says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God." So as we think about this phrase, "as you come to him," we need to understand that it's not a one-time deal. It's not since I came to him when I was saved, but it's as you come to him, as in a continual coming to the Lord. Yes, I was saved when I believed at the age of 13, but there is a continual coming to the Lord that is needed. And as we come to him, as we continually come to him, we trust him more. We believe him more, and he becomes more precious to us. There is nothing that replaces that continual coming to him. And so many times we miss out on things in the Christian life because we fail to come to him. We think that it's everything is okay because we got saved way back when, but it's not okay just because we got saved way back when. Yes, we're going to heaven when we die. Yes, our sins have been forgiven, but we're missing out on so much that God has to offer. We're missing out on so much that he wants us to learn and experience it to understand and taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we're living beneath our privilege as children of God when we fail to continually come to the Lord. Rather than continually coming to the Lord, oftentimes we go back to sin, or we try to find satisfaction in ourselves and are self-absorbed, and we'll give God the, the religious act of coming to church or listening to a sermon or something like that. But there needs to be a continual coming to the Lord, even on a daily, if not more than a daily basis, to proactively come to him. And as we come to him, a living stone, that proactive, continually coming to him, we as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built up to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today that as we think about this cornerstone that we have, this cornerstone who is unshakable, this living cornerstone who was rejected by people, yet he is the one who has been chosen by God the Father and honored. And the word tells us that the one who believes in him will never be put to shame, that you need to continually go to that cornerstone. You need to build your life upon that cornerstone, upon his word, and it is an unshakable foundation. This world is going to throw so much at you. Life is going to throw so much at you, but if you will stand on the rock, the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never, ever let you down, and that is a scriptural promise that you can take to the bank. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that he is the cornerstone. He is the firm foundation. He is the one that is unshakable. He is the one that we build our lives upon. And Lord, in his name, I ask that you would encourage us to not be ashamed, but to be bold in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would realize and understand that those of us that believe will never be put to shame. And Lord, for those that do not yet believe, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their need to place their faith in the one and only Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining me again today. And I hope that you have a great week, and I hope to see you on Sunday. God bless.